Hello and welcome to Scripture Verse by Verse. My name is Michael Moret. We are in Ezekiel chapter 18 today. Very important chapter in Scripture. I've been studying in Ezekiel and actually teaching through it verse by verse on the internet for the Scripture Verse by Verse website. And one thing that has stood out to me is just the importance of this chapter, personal responsibility, how we are accountable for our actions before God. So it stood out to me in praying what to talk about today. I decided Ezekiel chapter 18, so I will trust that this is what God wants me to do and what you need to hear. So open your Bible to Ezekiel chapter 18, and we'll begin right after prayer. Father, we ask that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. And I'm not sure how far we're going to get. We're just going to read the word of God and let God speak to us, if that's okay with you. Chapter 18, verse 1. The word of the Lord came to me again, saying, stressing the fact that this is the word of God. Ezekiel was a good prophet, he was a good man, he was a faithful man, but this is not his word. This is God's word, and that's the important thing. It's not important who you're listening to, it's important where they're getting their information from. And it should be from the word of God, because that's the authority. So he establishes his authority, and this is what God says in verse 2. What do you mean when you use this proverb concerning the land of Israel, saying, the fathers have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are on edge? In other words, the fathers are doing bad things, but the kids are going to pay for it. Well, you know, in the natural short-term realm, that's probably true. There are some consequences to having bad parents, as we all know. But notice what God says here in verse 3. As I live, says the Lord God, you shall no longer use this proverb in Israel. Quit talking like that. Because although, you know, that could be true. I mean, if you got a father who's a drunk, he can kind of mess up the lives of his wife and his family for a long time. He can do a lot of damage. But that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about personal responsibility. The father may mess up the lives of a child or children if he comes home drunk every night. He can mess up his wife's life too. But his wife and his children are not going to answer to God for his sin of drunkenness. And that's the issue we're talking about here today. Verse 3, as I live, says the Lord God, you shall no longer use this proverb in Israel. Behold, all souls are mine. The soul of the father, as well as the soul of the son, is mine. The soul who sins shall die. Now, of course, we all die physically because we have all sinned. But the soul who sins will pay for their sin. That's the way it works. And God knows what he's talking about, and God can do it, and he can make sure that it happens that way. Because like he says, all souls are mine. God determines what happens to people. He's the ultimate judge. And so we look at verse 5. But if a man is just and does what is lawful and right. So if he's a good guy in the sense of righteous before God, he has repented of his sins, he has today made Jesus Christ his Lord and Savior, and he's living for Jesus. He continues in verse 6, if he has not eaten on the mountains, nor lifted up his eyes to the idols of the house of Israel, nor defiled his neighbor's wife, nor approached a woman during her impurity. In other words, if he hasn't broken the laws of God, nothing wrong, by the way, with eating something on a mountain, but when it's a part of an idolatry type service, well, then God has a problem. So he's saying, if he claims to belong to me and he lives for me, notice verse 7, if he has not oppressed anyone but has restored to the debtor his pledge has robbed no one by violence, but has given his bread to the hungry and covered the naked with clothing. In other words, he hasn't just not done bad things, but he has done good things. He has helped people who need help. You know, there are sins of commission, which means you do something wrong, and there are sins of omission, which means that you had an opportunity, but you didn't do something right. And a lot of times those two things are connected, because if we're doing something wrong, then we squander opportunities to do something right. But if you're walking with God, if you're right with God through Jesus Christ, and you're walking with Jesus, He's the Lord of your life, you're not only going to not do things that are wrong, but you're going to do things that are right, because that's going to be your passion. When you make plans to get together with someone, you're going to say, Lord, work through me. Live through me. Be a blessing to them through me. Let them love Jesus more through me, because you have a heart for Christ and you want to do things that please Him with my itchy nose. Verse 8. If he has not exacted usury, nor taken any increase, he hasn't been unfair and been unkind, but has withdrawn his hand from iniquity and executed true judgment between man and man. If he's done his best to promote godliness and righteousness, he's a good person. He's walking with the Lord. Obviously, he's right with God. You can tell if somebody's right with God because their lives will put godliness on display. And that's what these verses are talking about. And he continues in verse 9. If he has walked in my statutes and kept my judgments faithfully. In other words, he reads my word. He supports ministries that teach my word. And then he does his very best to live my word. If he does that. Last part of verse 9. He is just and shall surely live, says the Lord God. He's living for me. He's right for me. Or I should say, he's right with me. And I'm going to see to it that he's rewarded. It will go well with him. He'll be blessed in this life, at least as far as not inheriting any of the fallout from committing sin, the bad fallout. But mostly, he's going to inherit good stuff in eternity. Verse 10, if he begets a son who is a robber or a shedder of blood, who does any of these things. Now let's just stop there for a second. This is a good person. If he has a son who's a bad person, and that happens, doesn't it? Sometimes you can do your very best as a parent, and your children just don't turn out right. They're doing their own thing. They disregard the word of God. They disregard God. Who knows why? It doesn't matter why. Maybe they're rebellious because they don't think that they're having a good time. They didn't have a good time growing up sinning with the rest of the world because you had standards. Well, you did the right thing. And it's up to them to follow those standards when they get old enough to make their own decisions. And if they don't, that's on them. And that's what we're going to see. If he begets a son who is a robber or a shedder of blood, who does any of these things and does none of those duties, but has eaten on the mountains or defiled his neighbor's wife. He's into immorality and idolatry. If he puts other things before me, God says, don't blame yourself, Dad. Don't blame yourself, Mom. Don't blame society. Notice verse 11. And does none of those duties, but has eaten on the mountains or defiled his neighbor's wife. If he has oppressed the poor and needy, robbed by violence, nor restored a pledge, lifted his eyes to the idols, or committed abomination. He's just a bad person. He's just mean. Taking advantage of those who are easily taken advantage of. Sure is indicative of the fact that he doesn't know the Lord and he's not walking with Jesus. And it continues in verse 10. If he has exacted usury or taken increase. In other words, he's just the opposite of you, Pa. He's just the opposite of you, Mom. If he does that, God says this, he asks this question, shall he then live? What do you think? Shall he live if he behaves that way? What do you think the answer is coming from a just God? who, yes, is full of mercy, but is just and righteous. What is God's answer? He shall not live. He's not going to live. He's not going to be okay. If he doesn't live okay, then he won't be okay. If he has done any of these things, any of these abominations, he shall surely die, and his blood shall be upon him. In other words, he has no one to blame but himself. And just, this is one thing that just drives me crazy, all the blame shifting that goes on in the world. It's always somebody else's fault, isn't it? You get people turning over cars, rioting, throwing bricks through windows, destroying innocent businessmen and women who are trying to raise a family in some kind of bad areas of this country. They're trying so hard to do what is right. And you got people who are just unruly, who destroy, who start on fire. And why? Well, because someone was oppressed. Because they don't like something that happened. Didn't have anything to do with the people that they're destroying, but they just feel justified. And there's all sorts of people that will allow them to blame shift and excuse them for their actions. I even heard one person say that anarchy is just fine at times. Well, it's not. God doesn't think it's just fine, but when people live without the Word of God as their guide, they come up with all sorts of ridiculous ideas. Verse 16, he has not... His blood shall be upon him, right? Verse 14, if, however, he begets a son who sees all the sins which his father has done and considers, but does not do likewise. So here, maybe you have a bad father, a bad mother, and they don't live for God at all, but they have a child. The child looks at that and says, man, that's not right. That doesn't line up with the Word of God. He maybe thinks about doing it because his mom and dad did it. That kind of seemed to be normal when he was growing up, you know. That you learn normal from your mom and dad. And unfortunately, you learn normal from your mom and dad, even if your mom and dad aren't good. But there's a higher normal than your mom and dad. And that's the Word of God. And so he considers, but he doesn't do likewise. Doesn't do like his wicked mom and dad. 15, who has not eaten on the mountains, nor lifted his eyes to the idols of the house of Israel, nor defiled his neighbor's wife. He hasn't committed immorality. Maybe his mom and dad were both involved in that, but he doesn't do it. That's not right. He doesn't say, well, that's okay. They did it, so I might as well do it too. 16, he has not oppressed anyone, nor withheld a pledge, nor robbed by violence, but has given his bread to the hungry and covered the naked with clothing. In spite of the bad example of his parents and maybe the rest of his family, he didn't get involved in that kind of stuff. He put an end to that chain of wickedness. You know, you can do that. You don't have to be like your sinful mom or your sinful dad or your sinful grandma and grandfather. You don't have to be that way. You can put a stop to that in your family. Get a fresh start for your offspring. At least do your best. Verse 17. Who has withdrawn his hand from the poor and not received usury or increase, but has executed my judgments and walked in my statutes, he shall not die for the iniquity of his father. He shall surely live. Just because his dad was bad doesn't mean that he has to be bad. And if he's not bad, he's not going to suffer as a bad person might suffer or will suffer. See, God is fair. He's just. His judgment is based on our actions. The most important action, of course, as far as eternity is concerned, is to repent of your sin and ask Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior. By far, that's the most important thing that you can do. But after that, I mean, you do that, that'll take care of eternity for you. As long as you have your faith in Jesus Christ, you're okay. But temporally speaking, if you live right, you're not going to suffer for doing wrong. Verse 18, as for his father, because he cruelly oppressed robbed his brother by violence and did what was not good among his people, behold, he shall die for his iniquity. So like I said, just because your mom and dad are bad doesn't mean you have to be bad. And if you are bad and you think that that's an excuse, you are wrong. It might be an excuse as far as some people are concerned. They might pat you on the back and say, poor you, you can't help it. God doesn't do that. He doesn't say, poor you, you can't help it. He says, you are in trouble, just like your dad's in trouble. It is every person for themselves as far as God is concerned. 19, yet you say, why should the son not bear the guilt of the father? Well, somebody asked a foolish question. God anticipates somebody asking a foolish question. As a father, if a father is bad, then the son should suffer, just like the father does. Well, that's kind of silly, isn't it? That's kind of ridiculous. If somebody asks that question, notice verse 19 again. Yet you say, why should the son not bear the guilt of the father? Because the son has done what is lawful and right, and has kept all my statutes and observed them, he shall surely live. That's why. It doesn't take a brain surgeon to figure this one out. He won't suffer because he's not his dad. His dad is the one who did the bad things. See? You don't have to be like your parents if your parents were bad. You can be right. You can decide right now before Almighty God that you're going to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You're going to live for Him starting right now. Maybe you haven't done it. Maybe you have lived like your dad, which means you're in big trouble. But you can stop right now. You can repent. Maybe it's too late for your dad. Maybe he's dead. Maybe he's in hell because he rejected Jesus Christ. There's nothing you can do about that. You just got to admit it. You just got to face the facts. That's reality. And if you don't want to join him, then you better change. And that starts by receiving Christ as Lord and Savior and living for him, making a commitment to follow him. And then you're not going to suffer for your sins, obviously. God is fair. Verse 20, the soul who sins shall die. There it is again. It's every person for themselves. You want to be right with God? Then live right. And this starts by receiving Christ. You want to enjoy life? You want to have a good life? You want to have a good relationship? Then find somebody else who's living for God, who's putting God first. And if you can't find someone who's living for God and putting Him first, then you're better off alone, believe me. But you can have a good life. The soul who sins shall die. The son shall not bear the guilt of the father, nor the father bear the guilt of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon himself, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon himself. You're paying for your own sins. You're not going to pay for your dad's sins. And there are some people who say, some people talk about generational curses. You know, their great-great-grandfather was into the occult, and now they're being punished because of the same thing. Or somehow that sin was transmitted down through the genes, through DNA. That's silly. That's completely unbiblical. That is just Pentecostal hype. It has nothing to do with the Bible. It has nothing to do with reality. It is every person for themselves. 21, but if a wicked man turns from all his sins which he has committed, keeps all my statutes, and does what is lawful and right, he shall surely live. He shall not die. So, maybe you're a bad person. Maybe you have rejected Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Maybe you're 70, 80 years old. Maybe you're 90 years old. And you have rebelled against God since day one. You die right now, you go to hell. But you don't have to. Because if you stop, if you repent, if you receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you start putting Him first. Because of your faith in Him, you'll be okay. You say, but it's not fair. I don't deserve it. No one deserves it. So, God doesn't care what you used to be. God doesn't even care what you are right now. He cares what you will be in the next second. As long as you're breathing, you got time. Except you don't know when you're going to stop breathing, do you? So you better do it right now. Better repent right now. Notice verse 22. What happens if you repent? What happens if you change your ways? What happens if you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? 22. None of the transgressions which he has committed shall be remembered against him. Because of the righteousness which he has done, he shall live. Not only will God forgive you, no matter how bad you've been, no matter how long you've been bad. I mean, you may have done some hideous things for a long, long time. You repent, you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you make a commitment to follow him. He not only forgives you, none of your sins are remembered. You might remember them, God doesn't. 23, do I have any pleasure at all that the wicked should die, says the Lord God, and not that he should turn from his ways and live? God doesn't want to punish you. Let's just think about this. God doesn't want to punish you. If you've got a half a brain in your head, you don't want to be punished by God. So, what is the conclusion of the matter? Don't be punished by God. Repent. Ask Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior. He doesn't want to punish you. That's your only way out. Or you're going to get it. You're going to get it bad. And you're going to get it forever. Just repent. Change your ways. Receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior starting right now. And God will forget your sins. God will forgive your sins. You will not be punished because he doesn't want to punish you. He wants to bless you. God's strange work, the Bible says, is punishment. He'll do it. Believe me. He's not a sentimental type who will just let you walk if you don't repent. He'll do it because he's just. 24. But when a righteous man turns away from his righteousness and commits iniquity and does according to all the abominations that the wicked man does, shall he live? By now, that's a rhetorical question and you know it. Shall he live? Look at this. All the righteousness which he has done shall not be remembered because of the unfaithfulness of which he is guilty and the sin which he has committed. Because of them he shall die. It's just the opposite. So, you've been calling yourself a Christian. So you've been going to church. So you've been doing Bible studies. And you've been staying away from sin. And you've been doing it for years. And then one day, for whatever reason, you lose your faith in Jesus. All of a sudden, he just doesn't mean anything to you anymore because you have been tolerating sin in your life. Little by little, you've been tolerating a little bit more sin. Until now, you've gotten to the point where you don't even have faith in Jesus anymore. You not only do not love him like you once did, you not only do not live for him like you once did, you don't even believe in him anymore. You don't care. All the righteous things that you have done in the past will be forgotten. And now you're headed for judgment. Jesus said, he who perseveres to the end shall be saved. He said that many times. The New Testament says that many times, many places. Those who endure to the end shall be saved. Verse 27. Actually, let's read verse 26 again. When a righteous man turns away from his righteousness, commits iniquity, and dies in it, it is because of the iniquity which he has done that he dies. I lost my place. Verse 25. Yet you say, the way of the Lord is not fair. Someone says, well, that's not fair. You're going to punish somebody who did all those good works? Maybe he did good works for 30 years and now he's only, rejected Jesus Christ and lived like the devil for 5 years. I mean, he still's got, still his good works outweigh his bad works by 25 years worth. That's not fair. Doesn't matter. God doesn't care what you were. He cares what you are. So he says, the way of the Lord is not fair. Hear now, O house of Israel, is it not my way which is fair? Is it not my way which is fair and your ways which are not fair? God is incapable of being unfair. It is against his nature to be unjust or unfair. Don't ever accuse God of doing anything wrong. He not only doesn't do anything wrong, he can't do anything wrong. You may not like how he does things, but you're wrong. You may not like the fact that God says homosexuality is an abomination, for example. It is. Whether you like it or not, doesn't matter. He loves the homosexual. He loves the liar. He loves the murderer. He loves the thief. He loves all of them. But what they're doing is wrong, and if they don't repent, they're in trouble. And then verse 26, when a righteous man turns away from his righteousness, commits iniquity, and dies in it, it is because of the iniquity which he has done that he dies. It's on him. Don't blame God. It's on him. That's what he deserves. 27, again, when a wicked man turns away from his wickedness, which he has committed, and does what is lawful and right, he preserves himself alive. It's up to you. You have a free will. You want to live, you want to die. You want to go to heaven, you want to go to hell. It's up to you. The choice is yours. God gives you a free will. 28, because he considers and turns away from all his transgressions, which he committed, he shall surely live. He shall not die. So it is up to you. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And that includes you. If you're fed up with your sin, if you're scared to death of going to hell, and you should be, because Jesus talked more about God, I should say Jesus talked more about hell than he did heaven. And Jesus talked more about hell than anybody else. So if you're fed up with your sin and you're scared to death of going to hell, it's not too late to change. Repent of your sin right now. And don't put it off. Don't say, I'll do it tomorrow, because you'll forget about it, or you might die. And then all the good intentions in the world aren't going to do you any good once you get to hell, which is where you're going after you die. Do it right now. Pray this prayer and mean business. If you're ready to repent, if you believe that Jesus died on the cross to pay for your sins, pray with me. Lord Jesus, I know you died on the cross. Just repeat this prayer and mean it. I know you died on the cross. I know you paid for my sins. I ask you to come into my life. I ask you to be my Lord. I ask you to be my Savior. Take control of my life. Wash away all my sins. Don't just forgive my sins as you say you will, but wash them away and forget them as you promise. I will live for you by your grace. I will follow you by your grace. Take control of my life. Save me from hell. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer and you're serious, you're right with God. Now, get in the Word of God every day. And one place you can do that is the BibleVerseByVerse.com. Go to the Scripture Verse by Verse website and study the Bible verse by verse from Genesis through Revelation. It's the best thing you can ever do. Nothing like the Word of God to strengthen your spirit and to keep you from sinning. It'll strengthen you on the inside. And if you have any questions or comments for me, please do not hesitate to write or email. You can contact me and go right to the website and contact me from there if you like. Or my address is Scripture Verse by Verse, Post Office Box 2211, Wausau, Wisconsin, 54402-2211. Again, Scripture Verse by Verse, Post Office Box 2211, Wausau, Wisconsin, 54402-2211. Your prayers and financial support are greatly appreciated. One more time, our address is Scripture Verse by Verse, Post Office Box 2211, Wausau, Wisconsin, 54402-2211. And don't forget to check out the Scripture Verse by Verse website. That might be the most important thing you do after praying to receive Christ, because you can study the whole Bible from Genesis through Revelation, like we did today, along with me, study the whole Bible, every verse, from start to finish, at thebibleversebyverse.com. That's thebibleversebyverse.com. Thank you so much for spending this time with me. And if you have prayed to receive Christ today, would you let me know? Email me, write me something. It'd be a great encouragement. I'd like to help you out any way I can. Until next time, Michael Moret for Scripture Verse by Verse. So long, everyone.